We have been dealing with commitment, and if you remember, we had been talking about the fact that we need to choose this day whom we're going to serve. And we also pointed out that true commitment is what the Lord asks of us. Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 16, you don't need to turn there, he says, "For whosoever will save his life and lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." So if any man come after Christ, he says in verse 24, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow him. Tonight I want to talk about the ultimate sacrifice of our lives. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Now here we have the context of the children of Israel in the tribulation period, which we do not want to get into that, but there's an interesting thing here because it talks about that in chapter 12, verse 7, about the dragon. And who is the dragon? Verse 9, the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. He deceives the whole world. And the scripture tells us that they, who were the brethren, because we're told in verse 10 that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. So these brethren, in other words, he's talking about Christians, they overcome the devil, him. How? By the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. It tells us, Ryrie in his study Bible says, notice this, he says, the believer's defense against Satan is to, number one, bank on the merits of the death of Christ. So we are to understand the blood of the Lamb. You know, so not only is a person saved by the blood of the Lamb. Now, when we talk about martyrdom, Jesus was a martyr. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood on the cross, and he did that for you and for me. The Bible tells us he didn't just do it to be a good example. He did it to pay the full payment for your sin and my sin. And not only does he save us when we by faith recognize that we're sinners that deserve eternal punishment, and we by faith receive Jesus to be our Savior, he saves us. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be condemned. And the scripture makes it clear that his death on the cross saves us. But it also gives us the ability to attack the devil. We come before the Lord not because we're deserving or we're strong enough. We come before the Lord because Jesus is the one who overthrew the devil. Amen. And the scripture tells us he did that. But it also says they overcame him by the word of their testimony. You know, there is something about witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ that puts you on the offensive. And God gives special strength to those who are faithful in giving the gospel. But it also says, thirdly, Ryrie puts it this way, that we overcome the devil by banking on the death of Christ, by being an active witness, and then thirdly, to be willing to make any sacrifice, including death. So we come to the scripture and we recognize that there are those who are giving their lives even unto death. Now we see this in the scripture. We see it, for instance, The first martyr, do you know who it was? Stephen. After Christ resurrected, if you go over to the book of Acts, chapter 7, in Acts chapter 7, the Bible tells us that when Stephen was stoned to death, verse 58, they cast out the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, which is the Paul of the New Testament. And they stoned Stephen, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And it's interesting because in verse 56, Stephen saw Jesus before he died. And notice what Jesus was doing. Sitting at the right hand of God, right? He stood. And it's almost like, you know, that the Lord says, you know, "I am so proud of you, Stephen." And he gave his life unto death. The first apostle that was martyred is in the book of Acts, chapter 12. And it tells us in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, verse 1, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." So we come to these martyrdoms. As a matter of fact, just to give you a quick summary of one readout I have, we see that all but John of the 12 apostles gave their lives to die. Now, am I hearing a ringing? Okay, anyone else hearing the ringing? Okay, maybe back me off just a little bit, Ken. All right, so the scripture tells us that we are needing to be willing to die. Now, the 12 apostles, Matthew, according to this readout, says he was slain with a sword in Ethiopia. Mark, of course, is the writer, John Mark. He died in Alexandria after being cruelly dragged through the streets of the city. Luke, Dr. Luke, was hanged upon an olive tree in the land of Greece. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil and escaped death, and he was banished to the island of Patmos. Peter was crucified, you know how? Upside down on a cross that was like an X because he did not want to die with the dignity of a cross that Jesus died on. James the Greater was beheaded, as we just saw at Jerusalem. James the Less was thrown from the pinnacle of a temple and beaten to death with a fuller's club. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Andrew was bound to a cross until he died. Thomas was run through the body with a lance in East Indies. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was first stoned and then beheaded. Barnabas of the Gentiles was stoned to death. The Apostle Paul, after various tortures and persecution, was at length beheaded at Rome. So we do know that those early believers suffered greatly to live for God. And sometimes we think we're really suffering because we have some inconvenience. But the fact is, Jesus said, you are to not love your life. And because those who love not their life unto death, they stood before the Lord. Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many have ever heard of them? Okay, here's another question. How many of you have ever read it? Okay, just incredible. Now, I haven't read every page. Matter of fact, I run out of time. It's kind of gruesome. I'm glad we don't have the children in here. But I want to show you a verse in the book of Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, and this is an interpretation thing I'm going to show you, but it is interesting because the church at Smyrna, Revelation, I said chapter 3, chapter 2, Revelation chapter 2, and the Bible tells us that unto the angel, verse 8, of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Who is that? Jesus. He says, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, that thou art rich, and I know thy blasphemy of them, know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Now, we all suffer. And if we know Christ, the Bible tells us it's not only for us to believe in Him, but to suffer for His sake. They that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer. And He says that thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, verse 10, that ye may be tried. And notice these words, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. Now, what are these 10 days? Now, again, I'm going to quote Ryrie. In my study Bible, he said, this may refer to a 10-day period of intense persecution to come, or it may indicate 10 periods of persecution from Nero, the Roman emperor, unto Diocletian. And I want to read some of those persecutions to you. Because really, there were 10 of them. And so Fox, in writing and researching this, talks about the first of the 10 persecutions. And I'm certainly not going to read all of this, but I want you to get a sense of what people, how committed they were to our Lord. The first persecution under Nero in A.D. 67, and of course that's when Paul was alive, and probably Paul was killed during that time as well. And he mentions how Nero, he would punish the Christians and in the most incredible ways. In particular, he had some sewed up in the skins of wild animals, and then worried by dogs until they expired, and others dressed in shirts made stiff with wax, filled to axle trees and set on fire in the garden. So Nero literally set Christians on fire. And of course, terrible, terrible sufferings. The second persecution was under Domitian, and this is in A.D. 81. And he mentions that St. John, this is who John, was boiled in oil and banished to Patmos. And he says here that the pagans, if famine, pestilence, or earthquakes afflicted any of the Roman provinces, they basically blamed it on Christians. And another hardship was when Christians were brought before the magistrates. And this was their test. Are you a heretic or not? Well, if you refused to take the oath, you were pronounced to die. And if you confessed yourself a Christian, you're still going to die. So they were put into that situation. Timothy. You know, when we go to our Bible, we see young Timothy, how he was used of the Lord. And according to Fox, he says that the pagans were celebrating a feast, and Timothy, meeting the procession, severely reproved them for their ridiculous idolatry, which so exasperated the people that they fell upon him with their clubs and beat him in so dreadful a manner that he died of the bruises 2 days later. Third persecution was in A.D. 108. And one example of one of those persecution This is after the time of the apostles, was by a man, or was to a man named Ignatius. And he was given to the wild beast to be devoured. And having come to Smyrna, he wrote to the church at Rome, exhorting them not to use any means for deliverance from martyrdom, lest they should deprive him of that which he most longed and hoped for. He wanted to die for his faith. Now that's odd. And he was killed. And he goes on and says this, and why he said this: I begin to be a disciple. I care for nothing of visible or invisible things, so that I may but win Christ. Let fire and cross, let companions of wild beasts, let breaking of bones and tearing of limbs, let the grinding of the whole body, and all the malice of the devil come upon me, be it so, only that I may win Christ. That's how that man went to be with the Lord. The fourth persecution was in A.D. 162 under the Roman Aurelius Antoninus. Marcus Aurelius. Some of the martyrs under his reign were obliged to pass with their wounded feet over thorns, nails, sharp shells upon their points. Others were scourged until their sinews and veins lay bare. And after suffering the most excruciating tortures that could be devised, they were destroyed by the most terrible deaths. Now, one of those people is a man named Polycarp. And Polycarp was the bishop of Smyrna that we just read in the book of Revelation. After feasting, the guards who apprehended him, he desired an hour in prayer, which being allowed, he prayed with such fervency that his guards repented they had been instrumental in taking him. He was, however, carried before the proconsul, condemned, and burned in the marketplace. The proconsul then urged him, saying, "Swear, and I will release thee. Reproach Christ." And Polycarp answered, 86 years, now here's an old man, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king? Who hath saved me? At the stake to which he was only tied, but not nailed as usual, as he assured them he would stand immovable in the flames. On their kindling, the faggots encircled his body like an arch without even touching him. And the executioners, on seeing this, was ordered to pierce him with a sword. And with so great a quantity of blood flowed out to extinguish the fire. But his body, at the instigation of the enemies of the gospel, especially Jews, was ordered to be consumed in the pile. And the request of his friends who wished to give Christian burial, they rejected. They nevertheless collected his bones as much as his remains as possible. Now, we could go on, and I will. I'll go on until I run out of time. The catacombs. I don't know if you know anything about the catacombs. The Roman catacombs, this was where many Christians were buried. And while they were buried, the actual graves, when they were open, the skeletons told the story of heads that were severed from the body, ribs and shoulder blades that were broken, bones who were burned in fire. But despite the awful story of persecution, on their tombstone, you had marvelous testimony. You have to read that. The fifth persecution under the Roman emperors was by Severus in A.D. 192. And just to give one example, Cecilia, a young lady of good family in Rome, was married to a gentleman named Valerian. She converted her husband and brother, who were beheaded. And the Maximus, or officer who led them to execution, becoming their convert, suffered the same fate. The lady was placed naked in a scalding bath, and having continued there a considerable time, her head was struck off with a sword. The sixth persecution was under Maximus, and during this persecution, numberless Christians were slain without trial, burned indiscriminately in heaps, sometimes 50 to 60 being cast into a pit together without the least decency. The seventh persecution was under Decius. And here he gives an example. Julian, a native of Cilicia, as we are informed by St. Chrysostom, was seized upon for being a Christian. He was put into a leather bag together with a number of serpents and scorpions, and in that condition, thrown into the sea. Terrible, terrible things. Interesting, Theodora, during that time, a beautiful young lady, on refusing to sacrifice to the Roman idols, was condemned to basically go to a house of prostitution so that she could be indecently taken advantage of. And as a result, somebody helped her, and she took a stand with that man, and the person who helped her and herself, she was killed. The eighth persecution was under Valerian, begun under Valerian in the month of April 257, and continued for 3 years and 6 months. The martyrs that fell in this persecution were innumerable, and their tortures and deaths as various and painful. The most eminent martyrs were, and it goes on and describes them. One of them was Utica, a most terrible tragedy, where 300 Christians were, by the orders of the proconsul, placed round a burning lime kiln, a pan of coals, and incense from being prepared, they were commanded either to sacrifice to Jupiter or to be thrown into the burning pit. Unanimously refusing, they bravely jumped into the pit and were immediately suffocated. The ninth persecution was by Aurelian, and it tells us, and I don't have time to read all of this, Faith, a Christian female in France, was ordered to be broiled upon a gridiron, and then beheaded. The tenth persecution, as we mentioned, is Diocletian. Racks, scourges, swords, daggers, crosses, poison, famine were made use in various parts to dispatch the Christians. And you know, you look at this and you'll see, for instance, that the Inquisition. The Inquisition was a place during a time where the Roman Catholic Church martyred a lot of the reformers, and they, when they were put to death, it was terrible. John Wycliffe is an interesting person in history. He was not martyred, but they were so infuriated by his influence that they took his bones from his grave and took a stand against him and burned them. And we could go on and on. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is this, that there is a sense in which we ought to not love our lives unto death. And we need to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to become so comfortable that we are not willing to make the least sacrifice. And it's important that we understand that Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to be willing to give up everything for me. And the kind of Christianity that says, okay, well, I'll just compromise here, compromise there. You know, we could say, well, why didn't they just confess and say, hey, I don't believe in Jesus, save their lives, and walk away from that? Do you realize the early church disciplined people who did that? And because they were not showing the true kind of sacrifice. So I implore you, be a committed Christian. Be a committed Christian. And love Jesus so much that you wouldn't even dare compromise your faith in order for Him to be slandered. And not to allow anything to come into your life that would truly allow yourself to live in a way that would be a tragedy against Christianity. Now, here's a question. What would you do if somebody came through these doors and they said, deny your faith or die? You know, that happened during the Iron Curtain. I mean, I just shared some things in the early Christian era. But this is going on even now. And there are places over in China, and there are places in the Middle East where people are dying for your faith. During the days of the Iron Curtain, there was a small group of people, and we'll just say maybe a group like this, and they were having a service. And all of a sudden, the door got slammed open. They came in there, some soldiers with machine guns, and they said, we'll give you 1 minute to get out of here, or we're going to kill you. If you are going to claim Christ, we're going to kill you, and you got 1 minute to leave. And one right after another left. And then those soldiers closed the door and said, we wanted to find out who the true Christians were. We've come to worship with you. Those are true Christians who are willing to sacrifice their life even unto death. Our Father, we ask that you would use us. Help us to be willing to give it all for you. Lord, you do not ask of us to just be wishy-washy in our faith. You would have us to stand for you. And Lord, if there be someone here that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, help them to be saved. And for those who are saved, maybe there's someone here that they're wavering in their faith, I pray that you would just give them strength, help them to stand for you. And we'll ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.